back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Just joining the broadcast, breaking news, Russia declared war on Ukraine, invaded Ukraine. There have already been reports of people killed, reports of explosions in Kiev. Luke, you're on the mic, my friend.
Yeah, I wanted to throw this kind of story, developing story that I saw this morning at you, and try to see if I can get your thoughts on it, because it has to do with this same vein. So apparently yesterday at the UN, the United Nations, it seems like the ambassador for Ukraine at the UN started to lay the groundwork to try to remove Russia from the Security Council. So five sitting member nations on the Security Council, permanent members, and Russia is one of those permanent members. And it seems like, and maybe this is something you and I can look into a little bit further, but the paperwork for when the Soviet Union dissolved, the Russian Federation just assumed that seat without the proper filing. But in the UN Charter, it still references the Soviet Union, not the Russian Federation. And so the Ukrainian officials at the UN seem to be trying to lay the groundwork to take over that permanent spot on the UN Security Council. And I'd just love to know what your thoughts were on that. And do you think that's something that could ultimately happen? Do we believe that all of a sudden Putin's aggression could lose him his permanent spot on the UN Security Council? Because, again, the UN is not going to take action right now because the Russian Federation's current seats on the Security Council has prevented the Security Council from taking any action against Putin and his aggression in the Ukraine.
Yeah, excellent point. Yeah, and that's an important point. Let me build on it and give you the appearance and the reality. And I'll give you, there are certain things in law that are what are called de jure, J-U-R-E, meaning as a matter of law. And then there are some that are called de facto, meaning regardless of the law, there's facts on the ground. When the permanent members of the Security Council, and they have a veto, so China, the UK, United States, France, and the Soviet Union. And the reason is initially all of them have nuclear weapons. So whether they're on the Security Council or not, you know, in other words, this was a way to let the big boys have their say, and anything that got done had to be unanimous. The problem with that is Russia blocks everything, and China blocks everything with Russia. So as a practical matter, you just have the US, UK, and France taking positions through NATO and through the EU. Now, I like the idea of stripping them legally of their seat on the Security Council, but as a practical matter, whether you do that or not, they still have nuclear weapons, and so you have to take them into account before you take action against them. Now, as a technical matter, I agree with you jurisdictionally. If the Security Council formation documents say Soviet Union, the Soviet Union was dissolved about 30 years ago, and one part of the Soviet Union, but not the whole part, the Russian Federation, which is basically Russia. Now, Russia was, you know, effectively the driving force in the Soviet Union, but there are a lot of other people in a lot of other countries in the Soviet Union. And you can say, well, technically, if you want to reapply for the Security Council, that has to be submitted to the UN, and the remaining four members of the Security Council who are permanent and have vetoes can veto it, and the United States would veto it. Then the question of getting Ukraine in, I like that aesthetically a lot. I like that aesthetically a lot, because Ukraine in the 9th and 10th centuries was a civilized country, and Russia was a forest and populated by wolves, but not a lot of people know the history, or frankly give a rat's patoot about the history. And so in terms of rubbing it in by putting Ukraine as a permanent member, I'd like to see it on the Security Council, but very effectively, probably, you then would just want France, UK, China, and the United States. Now, the problem with that is whether they veto it or not, China vetoes it. They always veto stuff. And whether you like it or not, if Russia got up on its hind legs and said, all right, you threw us off the Security Council, but we don't like this, and we're going to do something about it. And they threaten nuclear action. You got to take that into account. So the better way to do this, and you can't do it with Hitler and you can't do it with Putin, and I'm going to talk about that comparison briefly, but what you can't do, I think, is do it simply by fiat. Ultimately, there has to be a change of leadership in the Soviet Union, whether he's removed by his own people in maybe bad circumstances or whatever it is. But remember, Gorbachev did come to power over there, and he was an enlightened guy. Those are my thoughts. When we talk about Putin and Hitler, Hitler went into Czechoslovakia in 39 and to liberate, quote, German speakers, end quote, just like Putin's going in to liberate Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine. There was a Munich conference, just like there was now. Chamberlain of the UK went over there. The United States was not involved for two reasons. One reason is we weren't involved. There was no NATO, there was no EU, and we were not involved. We were still a developing country. But number two, believe it or not, after the First World War, we let our defenses fall apart. We had we had hardly any army and any navy. We didn't have anything modern. And so we weren't in a position to do anything. Germany had started to rearm. And Chamberlain knuckled under. And Hitler looked him in the eye and said, all I want is Czechoslovakia. And he said, okay, you can have Czechoslovakia. And then Chamberlain went back to London and said, we have peace in our time. The minute he got Czechoslovakia, he was emboldened, Hitler. And then he set up a false flag operation and claimed Poland attacked Germany. There were really Nazis who attacked Germany to look like Poles, just like Putin got into power by bombing apartment buildings in Moscow and claiming it was Chechens. Here, he puts in Russian forces out of uniform and claim they're separatists and begging Russia to come in and save them. Quote, save them, end quote. Same, this operation now is a combination of Czechoslovakia and Poland in 1939. Now, the Russians, one of the amazingly stupid things is Putin said, I'm going into Ukraine to denazify it. To denazify it. That's what he said. Just this morning he said that. First of all, Stalin formed a pact with the Nazis, with Hitler. And after Hitler invaded Poland, Stalin and Hitler agreed that they would be allies and Nazify all of Europe, and Stalin was going to take other countries. Stalin was a Nazi. Well, what happened was, when you have two Nazis in bed with one another, they'll stab each other. Hitler stabbed Stalin in the back and invaded Russia. And then Russia finally said, I love the West. I love the West. America, please save me. Britain, please save me. We're good people. We're good people. Forget what we did. That's exactly what he did. One of the things now, this revenge on the West mindset of a sociopath like Putin. If you think of the history of Russia, they're sitting there, they're a large country, and I can tell you the people are good people. I have been in St. Petersburg, I've been in Moscow, I've met with lawyers, I met with prosecutors, I met with average people. They're just like you and me. They're very, very good people. But they are in a large country that has no oceans to protect them, and they have been invaded time after time. They had Mongols sweep across them, they have China to the east, Islamic countries to the south. Islamic countries to the south. We're going to a break. A lot more to talk about. The lines are open, 844-9.